Ask the Podcast Coach for February 1st, 2014.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Oh, here we go. Keep your arms and hands inside the ride at all time. And welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach. And that's always fun. My speakers start going off behind me. If you're new to the show, that would be me, Dave Jackson. And we join here every Saturday to talk all things podcasting. And joining me over there from theaverageguy.tv is the one, the only, Jim Cullison. Jim, thanks for coming on the show.
Good morning, Dave. Apparently a bad Skype connection.
Yeah, we've been...
How do I sound? Am I still all right, or am I in that Skype garble mode?
No, you actually sound fine. I know we had some minor issues this morning, but hopefully we sound good. All the lights are blinking here on Mixler, on Spreaker, on schoolofpodcasting.fm. If you want to join in on the chat... go over to schoolofpodcasting.com/live. And of course, we would love to hear your smiling voice on the call. You can call in. It's 888-563-3228. That number again, 888-563-3228. And open phone lines now. So
you really like doing that part.
I do. It's kind of fun. It's the only thing I try to talk up. And, and the only thing I'm going to do, I'm going to install a mirror in the studio. I don't know why, because we don't have video on our Skype. But right. I do, for whatever reason, look at the laptop, even though there's absolutely nothing on it. And I'm trying to watch the chat window. I'm trying to watch the phone number. Occasionally, I look at Mixler to make sure the little thing is still spinning. It's a lot going on.
There is a lot to do, isn't there?
It's like, wow, okay. Yeah,
I think when people think about a live show, we've talked about this quite a bit. When people think about a live show, there's a lot more to it than you think. And you're playing quarterback. That's kind of why I like guest hosts, you know, people who are regulars with you. I think that's a good formula if you're going to try and do live. Get a couple guys or gals who will join with you because they can cover your... You know, when you're trying to fix things, oftentimes, Dave, I know I'll go off on a rant and you are doing things in the background. It gives you a little bit of time to kind of get some things set, read the chat while I'm talking, and then you talk, and we switch back and forth. So it makes it, it's a good partnership.
Well, I got stumped this week, and I thought I would throw this at you while we see if anybody calls in here. Have a person who doesn't have a computer. All right, but he wants to podcast. And I was like, okay, do you have what kind of phone do you have? And he said, iPhone 5S. I'm like, okay, that's cool. And he doesn't want to cut corners, which I thought was interesting. I'm like, okay, don't want to cut corners. We can do that. And he was talking about different microphones. And I'm like, well, you'd probably want to use the ATR 2100. You can plug that into your iPhone with a camera kit. So that'll give you good sounding audio. And you could use Boss Jock Studio that allows you to really create a podcast just with your phone. Now it's a live thing. So you gotta, you know, when we're doing fun stuff, one of the things I love about, you know, this stupid thing is I get to, you know, talk it up and see if I can do it by the time the sound ends, right? Well, with Boss Jock Studio, you're kind of doing that. So that, okay, so far so good. You ready for the fun part? He's sight impaired. He's blind.
Ooh.
And that's when I went, ooh, and he wants to do everything himself, which I understand. I have a couple friends who are blind and, you know, there's, it's not as much of a handicap. I got to watch how I say this, but I'm amazed at the things they pull off that I would think a person who is sight impaired could not pull off. And, that's when I went, so Any thoughts on that? I thought we were on the right track. I was just like, I don't know where, how, what's the word here? How sight impairedness, how sight friendly it is or sight impaired friendly Boss Jock Studio is or an iPhone app. I know on a website you can, you can basically have a screen reader that will read the screen to you. But that's what I was like, So we both kind of said this will be a challenge and that's what we're working up to. But it's amazing. I would love to know stats on this. What size of a podcast audience is sight impaired?
That's a great question. You know, Windows has got some built-in helps for that. If you, especially with Windows 8 and Windows 7 as well, bottom left-hand corner when you're logging in, if you hover over the, there's a kind of a help icon down there and you click on that, it'll read everything to you. So there is some, you know, Microsoft has been working on that for a long time, of course, because, you know, they've sold 1 billion copies of Windows. And it's got to go, you know, it's got to be, I forget what they call that. There's a compliancy. It's like 802.1, you know, -4
right.
Compliant. I can't remember what it is. But so, you know, I know the Windows platform is kind of designed. It's got some, you know, some helps for that. And so never, Dave, honestly, never thought about it.
Yeah.
You know, that would be a challenge. I'd love to see it in action.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because I said, you don't have a computer. And he goes, no, I'm not very technical. And I was like, okay. So he's kind of come up to me and said, you know, we may be able to do this. We may not. He's got kind of a side business that he wants to promote with it. So he's got the idea and he knows what he wants the podcast about, which is a thing we may be talking about later today. But I was like, that was the one that I was like, that could be an interesting challenge. Yeah,
let me say this, and I may get in trouble for this, but okay. You know, I don't ever hold back, Dave. You know that about me.
Right.
If I'm going to say it, I'm going to say it. I'm going to say you're going to struggle if you're going to be a podcaster and you're not technical. If you say I'm not technical, you're already at a huge disadvantage. And I think people kind of use that as a crutch sometimes to be like, well, I don't really know it. I think people are more technical than they give themselves credit for.
Well,
you know, obviously he's got a smartphone.
Yeah.
So, right. And so I think people use that kind of sometimes, and I'm not saying in this case, right? This is where I'm not trying to get in trouble. So let me not talk about it in this context, because with a sight impairment, it's very, very difficult.
Right.
But in general, I hear that just like you've been on a rant the last couple of weeks about paying for podcast stuff. I've noticed that through the threads of your podcast.
Right.
Sometimes I go on a rant when people say, oh, I can't do that because I'm not technical. Or, can you help me? I'm not very technical. And guys, podcasting takes some technical work. And so if you're not technical, you really need to learn it. It's one of those things you need to spend a few minutes, you know, much like you shouldn't go into podcasting, think it's all going to be free. You shouldn't go into podcasting thinking it's not going to take any time. All right.
Yeah.
You need to learn. Dave, think of all the things you and I have done to learn all the things that we do. It's taken a boatload of time for us to learn these things. And we're technical.
Yeah. And I just got my first own Mac computer, right? I bought the cheapest one you can get, basically. But what have I been doing this whole week? Watching videos on lynda.com about how to, you know, I've used Macs in the past, so it wasn't a huge learning curve, but I had to take the time to figure out what I'm going to do. And so it doesn't do any good to have the tool if you don't know how to use it. And what's interesting about that is a lot of times you have the skills, you just don't kind of tie them into podcasting. I've had two people that came to me and they said, oh, I'm such a, there's no way I'm going to be able to podcast. I don't know technology. I'm not a big fan of it. I said, are you on, on Facebook? And they'll say, yeah. I'm like, okay, do you upload photos to Facebook? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, okay, then you can upload, you know, audio to a website. Have you ever used Microsoft Word? Yes. Okay. Well, then you can kind of use Word that you can probably get around WordPress. There's a couple little things we have to show you and things like that, but you know, you can do that. And have you ever recorded anything on a VCR? Yeah. So you press the big red button on the front of the VCR. Yes. Then you can probably press the big red button on Audacity. So it's you have those skills, but you do have to take the time to understand how to apply those types of skills to podcasting. It's not just going to sit down and talk into a mic and I'm good
to go.
And
you're done. Yeah. You got to put some time in. I mean, you got to practice some things. I'm very technical and I'm still learning stuff all the time and I still practice all the time. I did some changes at my studio this week. And you know what I did? As soon as I was done, I called my buddy Mike Howard and said, can we chat? I need to check my sound.
Yeah, there you go.
Right. And I went back through it and made sure my sound levels were working and you know, I hadn't messed something up. Because the last thing you want to do is go to a live podcast, which we do on Thursdays.
Sure.
And not have things work, right? I mean, you know, you just changed your studio around for some training from last week. And this morning, you're trying to recover from some of it. You know, it's you just gotta. So don't let me spin this in a negative way. Sometimes I do that. I come down hard on people for this stuff, but so let me spin it positive and say, if you're gonna be a podcaster, don't be afraid of the technology. I'll take your, you know, your spin on
phrase.
It. It's just like you pretty much you do know. You just, it was like when my mom was learning the computer, and every time she learned on Windows XP, and every time a dialog box would pop up, which was like every other window, she'd be like, "What is it?" And I'm like, "Just read it."
Yeah.
Right. Oh. And so she'd read it. And so she would panic at that first little, you know, boom, thing as it popped up. And she didn't really need to, just read it. And so I think there's, you know, the other thing I think you can think about as you're starting to go into podcasting, and Dave, this is probably where you help people the most, is take it in bite-sized chunks.
That's it.
Yeah, I don't feel like you got to produce that show on the first day, you know?
Yeah.
Take it in little bits. Record, we talked about this last week or 2 weeks ago. You know, just do some practice stuff.
Yeah.
Practice is okay. You know, you don't have to, you don't, the first time you turn your microphone on, you don't have to record that, you know?
Yeah.
Practice chatting with people online, you know, get things going and do some practice hangouts and, it's, you know, just practice. That's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's okay to practice.
Hey, we've actually got a caller.
Awesome.
So I'm going to hit the talk button and hope they don't get dropped. We've been having issues with our phone, but if your phone number ends in 1770, you are on with Dave and Jim.
Yeehaw! How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing so good I can hardly stand it. Are you kidding? It's Saturday morning and I'm talking about podcasting with the experts. It doesn't get any better than this.
Awesome.
Very nice.
What can we help you
with? All right. We're talking technical.
Okay.
I have been given the opportunity to do a podcast for my company. It's an internal podcast. And the first one just got rolled out. And I'm having fun with it. But it's being hosted on the SharePoint system, which is new to the company, and they're very proud of it, and they're not interested in doing this any other way. And the folks in IT have been real helpful in getting me set up, and I appreciate that. But getting access to it is kind of like going around your elbow and your kneecap to scratch your back, and it's kind of awkward. I can't figure out how to get iTunes to get the podcast and play it. And since the audience for this is all the guys who are in their trucks driving down the road, kind of needs to be simple. Anybody got any experience with that?
So is your SharePoint internal facing only, or is it internal and external facing? Do you know what I mean by
I'm
that?
Not sure I understand it.
So no, is your SharePoint, can you access your company's SharePoint from home, or can you only access it kind of behind the firewall corporate wise?
We can all access it from home. It's kind of a virtual.
Yeah. So, well, when you say you can access it from home, is there a website that you can go to where you don't have to go through a VPN or you don't have to go through your company's VPN to get to it?
Well, guess what, Jim?
Did we drop him?
Yeah, but I hit the callback button.
Oh, okay. I'll see if we can get back and see if he can get his first name.
Yeah, I'm going to say that was the one thing. As soon as I started, I was like, it says it's calling him back.
Okay. We'll see. This is my wheelhouse, Dave. So
SharePoint it is, man.
Is what I do.
As soon as I heard SharePoint, I'm like, you know what?
I'm afraid.
It says he's. It's in terms of. I think he's back.
At the tone, please record your message.
When
you are finished recording, you may hang up or press one for more options.
He probably still thinks he's on. He's, you know.
Yeah.
Well, good. A good example to send to our friends at Call-In Studio.
Yeah, I have contacted them and said we keep having people drop calls. And they're like, but there are people that get many more calls than you do, and they're not having problems. And I'm like, look, I'm just saying, I'm trying to have a call-in show, and every time I'm, okay, so Rich is trying again.
Okay, we'll see if we can get back in here.
So, yeah, the thing is, and then I'm going to let you run with this.
Yeah, go.
It does have to be accessible to the public, because iTunes is not going to log in, do a login name and password. So wherever your podcast is, you know, it's got to be some place that you can point people to and they can get to it. So
Yeah, for sure. It needs an RSS feed. And I get the feeling I'm going to have him check with his tech staff. I'm probably pretty sure, well, and maybe they did, but there's probably not an RSS feed set up for it. SharePoint isn't really set up that way. You can get RSS internally. There's some configurations that need to be done. So
well, the good
it's
news not is, like,
is he back?
He's back.
Yes.
So I believe, is this Rich?
Yes, it is.
Okay. It's Rich in the chat room.
Awesome, Rich.
So,
hey, Rich. So do you know in this, when they set up this, when they set up the site for you, I'm assuming they set up a blog site for you. And are you on SharePoint 2010 or 2013?
I don't know. I would guess since it's brand new, it would be 2013.
Okay. And it might be. And do you know if they set up a blog site for you or not when they set up this, this site for you?
It doesn't look like a blog site, but I can put each episode there and I can put some comments there. So maybe it is.
Well, and it might be, but the magic for you to make this work with iTunes, right, is it has to have an RSS feed associated with it. And that RSS feed has to be viewable from the public. It can't be. So you need to ask your IT guys two questions. One, can I really access this site from anywhere in the world, right? And that means you shouldn't have to log in through a VPN client to get to it. Can I go to www.yourdomain.com and get to the SharePoint instance? Because if they don't, if it isn't, nothing's going to matter. You can't use SharePoint to submit it to iTunes at that point.
I've been able to get the RSS feed into iTunes, and it recognizes it and
it shows up
in my list of podcasts. So I've got that far. But
good.
When you go to play the episode or download it, it just doesn't do anything.
So you want, okay, this is going to be really techie and we try not to get too nerdy on this, but
we're going to nerd out.
Let's nerd for just a second.
So you need
to make sure that file extension that you have, and Dave talked about this on a show a couple weeks ago, that your file name .mp3, right? That part has to be exposed as well to the world. And I have a feeling that the FTP is it? Can you get to it?
Yes, sure can. And it doesn't have any spaces in the name either. That was mentioned as a problem on some forums I found.
So if you sent me that URL, I would be able to click on it, not having any company access, and it would play for me in my web browser.
No, you'd have to log in.
That's the problem.
Yeah. No, that's got to be public access. It needs to be on an FTP location right now. FTP is just the way that iTunes grabs that file. So your IT guys need to put that on a public-facing FTP server, one that has access and does not require a login.
Yeah.
Yep.
They will puke all over themselves if I tell them that. So I will probably withhold that for a little bit.
They might not, because they probably already have something set up like that for another business process that requires them to put files in the clear, you know? And so just run it by them. Just say, hey, you know what? I need this publicly accessible so folks can download it through iTunes. And like I said, they might already have something set up like that. It's outside the DMZ so that nobody, you know, that people can't hack in through it or whatever. Again, we're getting totally nerdy on this and I apologize for that, right? But that's what you want to ask him. It needs to be outside of the DMZ, right? It needs to be in an area where the public can get access to it without a username and password. Other words, iTunes will never work for you.
Yeah. And then I had a question.
Well, that's good to know.
What were you using to put in your iTunes tags? Like your album art and
the MP3 tag program, I think.
No, the actual tags inside, because iTunes is finicky. They want to know, not so much in the MP3, although that's important. There are actual also additional tags that you add to your RSS feed. So if you picture a standard WordPress RSS feed is like your standard car, and then you add air conditioning and you add powered steering and powered door locks. Well, iTunes is like, look, we don't look at standard cars. We need a standard RSS plus all this other Apple specific stuff. Do you know how you put the Apple specific stuff in your RSS feed? Did you go through
that? No, I have no clue how that happens. That's all behind the curtain stuff.
Okay. Cause that would be something that also might cause an issue I don't, if you wanted to actually have it listed in iTunes, I think what you did is you subscribed to your podcast in iTunes, where if you went to like the advanced menu and said, you know, subscribe to podcast, and you just pasted your RSS feed, that's you going directly to your podcast. Whereas if you wanted it listed publicly in the actual iTunes store, you have to have these extra special, you know, your album art and your description and who's the author and what's their website and all these other tags that Apple, because they're Apple, can say, we're not taking your RSS feed without this special Apple stuff. And that's where back in the day, people used FeedBurner. And if somebody was using SharePoint, that would be one of the few instances where I'd say, well, I guess you got to go through FeedBurner, because FeedBurner will allow you to add these Apple specific information. So it takes your basic RSS feed and adds this special Apple stuff to your RSS feed. So then iTunes goes, oh, look, it's a RSS feed exactly in the shape I want it. We are nerding out today, aren't we?
Hey, Lemmy and Rich, are you still with us?
Did we drop? Yeah.
Sounds like you dropped again. There are...
Oh, he went back to the queue. That's weird.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Yes, I can.
Rich, is this information, this podcast information that you're putting out, is it proprietary to the company? In other words, are you trying... Is the information or the information you're covering in the podcast, is that stuff that you only want employees to listen to? Or if it gets out in the public, is that okay or is that not okay?
It's potentially not okay. There's enough risk that they're very protective of it, and it just doesn't want to be available for general distribution.
Yeah,
So that, I mean, even when I talk about iTunes, people start to get nervous. So I have to be careful about it. I'm happy that I made it this far along, and I just don't want to upset.
No, you should absolutely scratch iTunes. Just drop it. Don't. It's not a great delivery mechanism for you. There are some, and this is where I might need help from the chat, and Dave, maybe you've got an idea. There are some podcast apps that support logins. And so, you know, they will, you can, cause your RSS feed will prompt for a login. And so that the player, the podcatcher, so to speak, needs to be able to handle, or you need to be able to embed that login into the catcher. So it will authenticate and grab that MP3 and bring it down. I just have not done enough work on this where I know or can recommend any of those podcatchers, but I know there are some that will allow you to do that. And so my recommendation would be we do a little bit of work in the community or so to figure out what those are, and then you have them use those podcatcher apps to go directly to the feed. They put their username and password in, and then it downloads to their device, because that's what you want it to do, right? You want them to be able to listen to this on their phone or their iPod. Well, it will never work on an iPod, but... On their smartphone?
Yes, on their iPhones. They all have iPhones. And so you're absolutely right. In fact, the best thing would be to have an app where they can just touch it and away they go, so that there's a minimum amount of fuss and they don't have to take their eyes off the road and don't have to be punching stuff in. So, I will look for that. I get the impression from reading what I can find on the net that there are some perhaps special web parts for SharePoint that might do this, but hell, I don't know enough about this to be able to find them.
Yeah. You know what I'll do, Rich, is I've got some SharePoint resources. That's what I do here at work. Although I manage them, I'm not on the technical side, but I've got some resources. I'll ask some guys and see if I can get back to you on that, to see if there's a particular way, maybe even in the Microsoft community, if there's a particular way they recommend to pull these files off of SharePoint. We'll get back to you individually.
Oh, Jim, you know, I don't care what Dave says about you. You are okay. I like you. You're a great guy.
Thanks, Rich.
Welcome. All right, I'm signing off now for real. Thanks for the help, guys.
Yeah. You bet, Rich. Thanks.
Yes, he's leaving on purpose this time.
Yeah, that would be a first.
Yeah, the last time he went in the queue, that was weird. So he didn't get completely dropped, but it was like, okay. So, yeah, that's a tough one there. You want to make it easy to distribute, but not make it public. So that's a whole other.
Yeah, and you want some security around it as well, right? I mean, this is an odd situation where you're having to tunnel through the corporate VPN, so to speak, to get. And that's really what that is, right? It sounds like the corporation VPN virtual private network that they've set up that allow their employees to authenticate into the domain or the directory inside the company. Many people have it. What's interesting is a lot of people do it and they don't even know they're doing it. This goes back to our first conversation. They're technical. They just don't know they're technical.
Right.
They do these things. They just have been taught how to do it and they just don't know they're doing it. And so that MP3 is locked behind a username and password. There's no way you can get to it. So iTunes is useless. You can't submit that. It'll take the feed. It'll even grab some information on the feed, but you'll never be able to get to your MP3s because they're blocked behind this password. And so, like I said, I think there's some. Dave, if someone had a solution, they were listening to this and they know about that, how would they contact you so we could get this back on the show?
Just Dave at schoolofpodcasting.com would get you... get that right to me. So yeah, I would love to hear that.
Very cool. Yeah, it would be good. It's super technical and maybe like 2% of the population this applies to. But I think there's a market for corporate podcasting like we're talking about here where, you know, we spend a lot of time as an organization and think about the organization that you're in, you know, that where you do company meetings and think about, so the average IT organization, the average billing rate for their employees is $40 or $50 an hour. And so you think about everybody sitting in those meetings at $50 an hour times an hour or two. We used to have all hands meetings that took 2 or 3 hours to get through. That's an expensive meeting. Imagine if you could podcast that information, give it to your employees and ask them to listen to it on their drive home.
Right? Yeah.
To maximize that.
I worked at a company where people would drive a good half hour to these meetings and we would all sit down and they would basically read the numbers from last month and say, go sell more. And then people would drive a half hour, in some cases, almost 45 minutes to an hour to their first call. And I was like, why not read the, you know, the numbers and say, go sell more or give a tip or whatever else is going on and let those people listen to that on their way to their first call. And you're not paying mileage. You're not paying time. You know, it's just more efficient. And I know there are some tools. I need to really put this one to the test because there are some programs. I know S2 Member is a plugin for WordPress that supposedly was supposed to have a secure RSS to where you could go in and you would have a member who would have, each member would have their own RSS feed for the exact same content. And I could never get it to work. And they had a forum and there was about 7 of us that none of us could get it to work, even though it was on their front page saying this is a feature. And you would have to log in again with a login name and password. And we could never get it to work. And I believe Digital Access Pass, which is what I use for the School of Podcasting, in theory, I believe has that feature. I've never wanted to really put it to the test. But I'll have to, maybe behind the scenes, I'll try it and see if...
Yeah, it's super niche, Dave. It's one of those things where, you know, again, it hasn't necessarily caught on. I think once the enterprises catch on, it could go big. So we'll do a little homework on the backside and see if we can come up with it. Dave, Lopta out in chat was asking if we have an archive. I think he's what he's asking is, do we have an archive of these Ask the Podcast Coach that we've done. I know we have an RSS feed. We're on iTunes as well. So they're all out there, right? The good ones.
That's it. That's the good ones. I started when I took the show public. You can find them. They're at the School of Podcasting. If you go to, you can also find them at Ask the Podcast Coach. I thought that would just be just as easy. But they're on the School of Podcasting website as well. I believe I'm trying to find out what my button is. I think if you click shows, on the right hand side, that's podcasts. Yeah.
And you can listen to them on Stitcher.
Yep. We're on Stitcher.
Yeah. And I think I've downloaded it on Beyond Pod on Android. Yep. So it works. Just grab the RSS feed, any feed reader, and get those back. That's how I listen to them. I go back and listen to every single show that I do. I usually wait a week or two and I listen to it again just to kind of critique how it goes. So I know they're out there.
That's a great bit of advice because to me, I always listen to my show as I'm uploading it, basically, to make sure there's no weird snafus. I try to, because it never fails. The one time I don't is the one time there's, you know, 38 seconds of nothing in the middle of it or something like that.
Yeah.
But listening to it a couple weeks later, when you're kind of away from the content and you're actually listening to it a little more like a listener than the person that actually produced the content, you can sometimes take it in and you just get different insights when you're not quite so close to the content. And I've found that very much helpful And there are times when I find out that I like to say the word right a lot.
Yeah.
And I don't even I'll just end a sentence and be like, so we're going to be playing with Boss Jock Studio, right? And I don't even notice that I say it until later when I'm kind of removed.
The other thing I noticed, and you and I both do this, is a lot of podcasters do, is when you're doing an interview and the person kind of gets to the end of their segment, you go, very cool. You say very cool a lot. Very cool. And it's kind of your way of transitioning. And I end up cutting that when I'm doing when I do my consulting, I cut that out. I cut those parts out because I don't think they're appropriate. But it's kind of like letting you're giving the person on the other end a little feedback on the information they give it. But I find we all do it a very similar way, well, that's very cool or very, so it's another little kind of thing that you hear later when you're doing it. You're like, oh, wow, I've said that a lot.
Yeah.
So I say, a lot, when I just said it.
Me too. That's one of my favorites John has go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
John has a question here. He says, here's a question. What tips do you have for podcasts that run into brain freeze when trying to come up with a topic for that week? I think the episode I'm going to do for the next episode of the School of Podcasting is going to be titled Easy Mistakes or Mistakes That Are Easy to Fix or Easy to Avoid for Podcasters. And one of them is I do a 60-minute show. Well, we do a 60-minute show on this show because it's scheduled. But I'm pretty sure if we really got to like the 38-minute mark and I looked at Jim and said, Jim, I got nothing. What do you got? And he said, nothing. And we just started talking about the Super Bowl. I'd pull the plug and say, well, that's all we have for today. If nobody's going to call in, thank you so much. And we'll see you next Saturday. Rather than just go, well, we've got another 18 minutes. Let's talk about, whatever, feed burner again or something like that. I think that to me can be an easy trap to fall into is to say, I always do an X amount of minute podcast. If you don't have that much time of material, I always tell people there is no such thing as boring or too boring. Let me back up. There's not too long, only too boring. Mm-hmm. And so I think I've heard people that I just listened to somebody that did a podcast and I'm going to say the last 34 minutes of his podcast was him talking about how he didn't have anything to say. And I was like, wow, why are you
stop?
Yeah. He was like, I was going to talk about this, but I didn't. And then I thought about talking about this, but I thought, no, I don't want to talk about that. And then I was going to talk about this. And I was like, you're killing me. What are you going to talk about then, buddy? And I just was surprised by that. But that's one of the key things. Well, before I go on to that, I was going to give him some tips on how to find content. But any comments on that?
I think, and this might be part of one of your tips, but one of the things I do is I keep an open document. So in the beginning of the week, after I'm done with my podcast and it's uploaded, I create a new document for next week. And I use Google Docs. It's just easier for me to get to that from just about anything. And if during the week I see something, I drop it in there. You can use Evernote or a variety of things to get that done. But it's one of those ways that during the week, because I think you run across material all week. If you're waiting until that hour prep before you go into the podcast and it's crunch time and you're thinking, oh, I can't think of anything. And then you think more about can't thinking about anything than you think about, actual content. So I would try to have some prep material during the week that whenever you have a thought, drop it in there. By the way, whenever you have a thought, put anything in there. Don't say, oh, no, that's dumb. Just put it. You can eliminate it later, right? But any thoughts, because you might have some really great ones during the week. And then you've got some material that'll hopefully prevent you from having that brain freeze before the show. And, I podcasted with a guy on Thursday. About once a year, I have him on my podcast. And I said, hey, how'd the podcast go? He podcasts Monday nights. And he goes, oh, the news was slow, so we just canceled the podcast. And I thought, good for you that you did try to make something up. They just didn't do one. Yeah. And,
I'm going to switch. Ahead. I'm going to unplug my iPad. And I'm plugging in my phone. And this is just me in the car. And I'll hear something in the car. And I'll bring up voice memo. And I hope these are playable. We'll see here. If I play.
Adam Carolla on Greg Fitzsimmons, 59 minutes about being yourself in podcasting.
So that was just me. I was like, that would be good for the show. Here's one, I think, for Weekly Web Tools.
Canva image editing thing from Cynthia Sanchez.
So these are just me. I hear something and I like, oh, I want to research this later. Doggone it, I'm in the car.
Genesis Design Palette Pro. You can tweak Genesis themes.
Which I actually did look into. It's actually pretty cool. You still can't change the header image, though. And I'm like, what? And then, of course, you have really great things like this.
I'm parked in level one north.
So that way when when you can't find your car later, you're like, where the heck am I? I'm in level one north. So that's an example of just having, and there are all sorts of tools. I mean, Jim mentioned Evernote. There's OneNote from Microsoft that I've been playing with. There's all sorts of ways, but have something to capture those ideas because I think we can all probably admit to a time when you're like, oh, there was that one thing that somebody mentioned and I was going to write it down and I forgot to. And then later you're like, oh, I forget what it was, something, this and that. And if you just have something to capture that information, I use a program called Feedly, F-E-E-D-L-Y. It's free. And you can put in a gazillion different RSS feeds. I would hate to see how many RSS feeds I actually am subscribed to. But you can then tag these. So I have a tag for each one of my shows. And so if I'm reading something about weight loss and it excites me, I'm like, oh, that's really cool, I'll just tag it, logical weight loss. And then your tags then become kind of a link. And so when it's time to do the show, I say, show me everything that I've tagged as logical weight loss. And here's all the stories. And I can go back and reread them. And at that point, kind of like we talked about before, I'm removed from the content. And if that excites me again, then I'll go, yeah, let's talk about this on the show. Or if it's something I read about podcasting or whatever. So that way the information is coming to me via RSS, via me having to go to all these websites and see if there's anything new. And there's also Google Alerts. If you go to alerts, I believe it's alerts.google.com, you can have do the same thing. You could say, look, I do a show on whatever your topic is and put your topic in as a search, and it will go out and search the web. It'll search news items or it'll search all of the above, and it will send you either a daily or I believe weekly. There's different intervals you can have, and that will send you basically, here's the stories I found on this topic. And that's also a good thing to do it's not an ego thing. Have a Google alert set up for your podcast name so that if somebody is talking about your show, you want to be sure to go out there and join in on the conversation and thank the person for talking about your show.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That one I like a lot. Just because you don't have to do anything, that information comes to you.
There you go. And Eileen Smith, Miss Eileen, thanks for being in the chat, says Canva is awesome. And so is PicMonkey. That's another one I keep hearing about because it's just fun to say PicMonkey. So some great tools.
Yeah, Dave. Also, you know, the other thing, if you with Evernote, OneNote, Google Docs, whatever you decide to use, if you separate those, so as you're going into the show, I like to create my show notes way early. Mm-hmm. And then I like to give my hosts access to those notes as well so that we're watching them in real time. That's one of the things that's really nice about Google Docs is we can see changes immediately in the show notes. So if somebody wants to drop a link in there, I can get it right away and access it to be able to reference it on the show. Well, the good news is when we're done, that's probably too high. 70% of my show notes are already built for me, right? Yeah. They're already there and you can just grab them, drop them in whatever you use and you're done. So little bits, I think podcast is the success of podcasting is little bits of stuff over long periods of time, not cramming an hour before the show to get your stuff done.
Yeah, that's no good and it takes years off your life.
It does. It's just stressful. And I don't think you're as good. You know, the reason we do pre-calls is to make sure the guest is comfortable because you want them super comfortable, you know, coming into it. I think the same goes for the host. If you're frazzled going into a show, you're going to hear it. Your people will hear it. I think, you know, it'd be great for the opportunity, you know, it'd be great to just be ready and to be ready, work on little bits, you know, little bits of it over time.
Yeah. I know I usually start getting ready for this show. Not so much content-wise, but just making sure the technology, you know, I try to start at 9:30. And then by that time, I've already got, like we said, I'll go into the Google Docs. So I actually have tags, or I guess they're called labels, in Gmail. So anybody that sent me a question, I'm like, oh, this would be good for the show. I just tag it as Ask the Podcast Coach. And then I bring those up and I'll put those into Google Docs or wherever we're at. And yeah, Google Drive is part of Google Docs. Miss Eileen says you could check out scoop.it. I've seen that. It's kind of like a Google Alert type situation where you can put in a topic and it basically makes a website based on your topic. It's almost
lots of tools. Mm-hmm. Lots of tools to do it. Dave, can I bring up maybe a sore sensitive topic among the podcasters?
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
What's going on with ATR 2100s and why have they doubled in price?
I don't know, but if you buy its little, well, it used to be its bigger brother, the ATR 2005, they both went over $50. Well, the 2005 used to be 80, which was weird because the 2100 was like, I think 39 for the longest. It was 30 for a while, 35. And they were saying in the chat room, it's $59 today. So they've almost, you know, we're looking at doubling the price if we go from 35 to 70 soon, if it goes up another $10.
Well, I feel like on Amazon, this is like the stock market because today it's $50.99, right? Yeah. Or it's $50.59 if you buy it on Amazon today. Yesterday I looked, it was $59.99. So it's like, is Amazon changing the price on us? And you can get it at B&H and there's plenty of other places you can get it as well. Check out Dave's affiliate links on his sites before you do that.
Oh, remind me about that when you get done.
Okay. All right. But I checked yesterday because I was working with some folks and they were asking me audio questions. And I said, well, you know, to up your game on audio, a great inexpensive way to do it is an ATR 2100. Let me go to Amazon. $59. What? Okay. I'd seen 45 and then 50. And then I'm like, okay, well, Dave said the 2005 was cheaper. So, or 2005, $59.99. And I'm like, what is going on? Now, yeah. Mike Phillips is out in chat, and Mike will tell you that those microphones are worth $59. So I'm not, we got a little spoiled when they were, you know, 35 and then 40. We got a little spoiled, but it does seem like those prices on those microphones are fluctuating. Still a pretty good deal at $60.
Yeah. And Ryan asks, how is the 2005? It's the exact same microphone, except it's black and not silver. It has a bigger on-off switch, and it comes with a cute little leather pouch.
Nice.
And it used to be, like I said, I didn't know that the leather pouch was worth, it used to be like $40 more, but now they're almost the same price. So, yeah, I'm not sure what's going on with that.
Well, we have to remember, too, you know, we have a lot of Australian friends, and Brian mentions in chat, you know, it's $100 in Australia.
Yeah.
It's $100. Well, I don't know what it is right now. I'm not going to look, but it's also twice as much in Canada. Mm. So, and it's not cheap to get in the UK. So, you know, we talk about these all the time. We throw these prices out. Let's just apologize to our international friends, Dave, and say sorry that we can't control that. It has been a, you know, I think for the last year we've been talking about these microphones, as at least in the groups, the circles I run in with you guys, we've been talking about this ATR, and I have sold a boatload of those things to people. Well, it makes a great upgrade. I tell people if you want to make your Skype calls better, even if you're not podcasting, if you just want better audio, run with a better mic, and it's a great way to do it. You know, and it's very versatile. So I've been selling a ton of those things.
Yeah, Mike, is the Samson, he's mentioning the Samson Q2U. Is that a dynamic mic? I thought that was a condenser. But we bring up Amazon. I want to give you some heads up on this, especially if you're using PrettyLink. PrettyLink is a free plugin that you can use for WordPress. And when you make a link, you can make it temporary. You can make it permanent, and in theory, you're supposed to get a little more. Google likes it if you make it permanent, or you can add it to the Pretty Bar, which is a feature I've never, ever used, didn't even research, but unfortunately, I clicked on it once, and here's my horror story. I logged into my Amazon account yesterday, my Amazon affiliate account, and I don't mind sharing numbers here. I made $148 last month from people buying microphones, and it's like $1.10 at a time, right? And I see at the top of it, this account is closed and no longer will generate referrals. Account access to this site is for historical purposes only. And to say I cried is an understatement. Now, the really cool thing about this is I immediately got on the phone, called Amazon Associate Support, waited, I'm going to say maybe a minute and a half, and Russell got on the phone, nicest guy on the planet. And what I didn't realize is by doing this, now again, I didn't do this on purpose, but by choosing this pretty bar link by accident, which basically was just fat fingered it, it put it, my Amazon link, which at this case was feedingmyfaith.com/Amazon, in what's called an iframe, without getting super geeky, but it's basically, it's a type of, it's a way to linking to a website that Amazon doesn't like. We'll just leave it like that. And they had sent me an email on the 17th of January saying, you shouldn't do that. Well, the bad news is my Amazon account is tied to my old Hotmail account, which I haven't checked since about 72, if there was Hotmail back then. Mm-hmm. So they'd been telling me, hey, you're kind of breaking the rules here, buddy. And yeah. So he was really nice. He said, okay. And I explained to him and I showed him all my other sites that I have. And I said, this isn't any kind of black hat thing. I just made a mistake. And he said, okay, cool. So it's going to now, unfortunately, the guy on the phone couldn't say, okay, you're good. And I see you, because I said, look, go to it now. It's fixed. And he's like, yeah, it is fixed. Awesome. It still has to go to a review board. And I was like, oh, this is killing me. And then the other thing that I found out is I have, through AWeber, my RSS feed gets turned into an email and goes out to anybody that signs up to my email list. Well, if I have an affiliate link in my blog post and it goes out as an email, I'm also violating Amazon's terms of service, I guess, or use, because you're not allowed to sell Amazon. You're not allowed to put affiliate links in email, which I didn't know. That was a new one on me. What you have to do is say, you know, here's what I talk about in my newsletter. For more information, click here and go to the website. And I was like, oh, and he said, that's not a deal breaker. I said, okay, I won't do that anymore. But their whole thing was I was using this iframe link. And I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And when he found it, it was just this pretty link.
Came back to that pretty link.
And I was like, yeah. And so let it be known that if you're using pretty link, do not use the pretty bar version as a link. So yeah, and I have no idea. I just discovered it yesterday. And which is a bummer because I send people, you know, to schoolofpodcasting.com/Amazon every day. And, you know, if anybody goes there now, it still works. You can still buy stuff there. I just get no credit. And I was like, wow, that's
painful.
Yeah.
It's a good reminder, though, to review the terms of service for these affiliates.
Yeah.
That you have on, you know, because you don't, so we try to take all advantages, you know, of everything we can. I use mine, you know, theaverageguy.tv/Amazon to do the same thing you do. And we just mentioned that on the podcast a lot. And I, you know, I've got everything I put on my site has a link to it, which I think is okay. But that's good advice from PrettyLink because a lot of that's getting recommended. A lot of us use that too.
Yeah. And I don't even know what the pretty bar is, but I definitely won't be using it.
So does that put on your site? Does that put a header across the top of your site that has links on it?
That's the only thing I can think of.
But you didn't see that when you were...
Yeah, when I went to it, it just looked like the Amazon, because I went to the Amazon front page, took their front page and went into the Amazon affiliate area and said, make this an affiliate link. And they gave me this really long, nasty URL, which I then put into PrettyLink and said, okay, make this /Amazon. And I just happened to use the thing. And when I went to it, if there's any kind of stuff at the top or whatever that it's in an iframe, I sure didn't see anything. And it's probably because I never used that feature. So whatever you're supposed to do with a pretty bar, I didn't do. And I was just like, oh, you got to be killing me. So the guy on the phone made it sound like this will more than likely be overturned. And I just said, any ETA on that? And he's like, that's completely out of my hands. And I was like, oh, you're killing me.
Yeah, probably a review process. Ryan Parker says he actually needs some help with Amazon. His Food Craftsman, you know, he has the same thing, foodcraftsman.com/Amazon. But I don't see any sales when I know people have used it. So anyone good with the Amazon Associates, I could use help. I know Mike Howard was having that problem for a while. Ryan, I want to ask you, did you take the link that you're using, the real link, not your Amazon, not your pretty link, but make sure you take the link that it's referencing and put it into the checker at Amazon. They have a link checker You might not have the right link. So you might want to just check that to make sure that link is working first. You know, go into your associates, go into the Amazon Associates area, find the link that says link checker, put it in there and make sure it resolves back to do that. The other problem Mike Howard just brings up, people forget to do that. And you know, you say, what do you do to help? You gotta say it over and over and over and over and over and over again. And it took a while for mine to get going, but now the guys are using it a lot. And so we just say all the time, you know, we do a scholarship fund with our Amazon associate money. Mm-hmm. So that kind of in their mind puts a, hey, I'm not doing this for me, it's for the community kind of thing. And we turn those dollars back around and buy things for people to review. That's the way. I hated, I've said this before, so I won't spend much time on it. I hated begging vendors to send us stuff to review. So I just said, screw it, I'm going to buy it. Then I can be objective about it.
There you go.
We use those Amazon dollars to buy that stuff and get that done. So Ryan, it doesn't sound like you've done that. Go out and check that and let me know if that checker works for you, and then make sure you have the right link for sure.
And when in doubt, when I was talking to Russell on the phone, he made it sound like that's what he's there for, is to help associates. So it wasn't like Amazon tech support. This was like Amazon associates support. So it was just a staff of people to help Amazon associates, which makes sense because those people are helping Amazon make money. So
yeah, they love the community. They love the affiliate community. So they'll do what they can to make sure you keep promoting them. You know, Mike Phillips brings up an interesting point. We use like our domain /Amazon. You can also go in and forward amazon.yourdomain.com
yep.
to that link. And that's actually probably a little smarter because if people are using Chrome or even I think this works in Firefox, you know, all those website addresses get cached. And the more you use them, the more they go up in the ranking on the cache. And so if they just remember Amazon and they type AM, it automatically fills it. And once they've done that once or twice, it'll start filling it with the amazon.yourdomain.com.
Ooh.
And that's an easy way to get them to keep, and then they'll just, and they won't care. They'll just keep, you know, hey, right. It's going to Amazon, right? So that's a tip I had from one of my listeners who said, hey, you know, I'd really like it amazon.yourdomain.com as opposed to my domain /Amazon using PrettyLink. That works too. That requires it's a little nerdier. You got to go in and
do a subdomain. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to do a subdomain and create that on at your whoever is hosting your domain name. So a little more work. It's not that difficult. You can do it.
Nah, it's a piece of cake. Hey, I know we've got about 5 minutes left. You dropped something last week and I wanted to touch on it, which was you said on your show, which you do live, you had switched from the, I forget what you're using for chat.
We were using live stream chat.
And you switched to Chatwing.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Yeah, so live stream is flash based. And so it works great on PCs, but I'm watching our lives, you know, I'm watching the numbers go up that are mobile, and folks are like, I was getting complaints all the time. You know, I'm watching the show, but I can't get to the chat. Chat doesn't show up on mobile. It doesn't show up on my iPad. Doesn't show up on this or that. And so we did some testing, and Chatwing is not flash based. It looks like, and I don't know all the technology, nor do we want to talk about it, but it works on everything. I mean, I have not found something it doesn't work on. And actually their marketing worked. They approached me and said, hey, would you try us?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I'm not paying for it at this point. They have some upgrades you can buy. I don't need them. If I needed them, I'd probably buy them. They're not terribly expensive.
Nah.
They were really helpful in our testing process of because we kind of tested it out on a couple times. I love to test everything out. So had a bunch of guys help me try it on a bunch of different devices. And it's worked really well. It worked well enough that I've moved it into the Gallup podcast. And
wow.
We made that change. And the users, you know, we get 200 or 300 in chat during our show when we're doing it, and it works great. And the nice thing is, you know, live stream, it took a little while for us to get used to the change because live stream is really stripped down and very basic. It's more like an IRC than it is like a chat room.
Right.
In the sense that username and chat, that's all it is. It doesn't monkey around with a bunch of extra information. When you're on Chatwing, you've got the name, then I see their IP address, then their chat, then on the second line, and then on the third line is when they posted it. Well, that's three lines for everything that's said. And that just takes up a lot of space, right? You're talking about screen real estate. I was a little worried about that at first. Most of the users got through it. There is an advantage that the users can log in with Facebook, Google Plus, Twitter, Yahoo, or chat. They can create their own Chatwing account, or they can just log in as a guest.
Right.
And so when they log in as a guest, they can create a handle for themselves if they want, or they can go guest 342, you know, that it automatically creates that form. So it's been good. I'm over, Dave. I'm not going back. For right now it works. There's a little hang up if you're trying to, we stream our podcast using YouTube Live. Mm-hmm. There's a little hang up if you're on an iPad or a Surface device, and I think a Galaxy Tab would be the same. If you've got the video running, the chat seems to lock up and not, you can't use the chat at the same time. So what I recommended for my folks is, hey, if you have an iPad, you probably have an iPhone too. Watch the show on the iPhone. Go to our page. So I created a pretty link. That's theaverageguy.tv/chat. And that all that page is the chat room, right?
Oh, cool.
So then on the iPad, go to the chat room, bring it up, and then you can, you know, put your phone down, listen to the show, chat on your iPad. That's a better way to, you know, an iPad is a lot better way to get text into the chat than it would be on your iPhone. So that's kind of what I've been having people test that out and do it multiple ways. But it's worked real well. I've been real happy with it.
That's interesting. Because, yeah, I know I was originally, we were going to do this show through the information I use on the school podcasting.fm, but there's such a lag in that delivery that I was like, it's not going to work. So, and I was going to use Chatwing as our chat and then just use their player for the audio. But, all right. So right now we're using Mixlr. So.
Yeah. Well, no, and I like the Mixlr chat. It works equally as well. I kind of needed something. I'm not using Mixlr for either of my podcasts, although I want to. I keep forgetting to turn it on. It's one of those kinds of things where I wouldn't mind. I'm a be everywhere kind of guy. I wouldn't mind turning it on and having it stream audio as well. That's one of the things Mixlr does really well. We talk about this all the time. It tells people if they follow you on Mixlr, tells you when you're going, it tells them when you're going live. And that's way better than, well, Google Plus is getting better at that.
Right.
If you create an event, we could spend a whole half a show, maybe add that to the show notes, Dave. We should talk about using the Google Plus infrastructure and all the podcasting tools it has available.
I think before the year's over, this is going to end up on, like a Google Hangout live, maybe, like, you know, something. Somehow we're going to, because that's really what this show started out as, is us playing with toys. So we'll find a way.
No, for sure. Yeah, me showing up and saying, hey, let me help you with it.
Yeah, it'll always be at schoolofpodcasting.com/live. But, I've thought about that last week. I'm like, is there a way we can tie that into a Google Hangout? And then the mix minus of the mix that goes to that and the 37 laptops. Yes, that would work. And that's what I would.
Yeah, well, we could make it. It's very easy. A Google Plus is so easy now. It's the drawback is they keep changing things all the time.
About the time you think you got it, you're like, easy. Oops, it changed. So, well, hey, we're going to.
Time is up.
Yeah, time is up. So I want to thank Rich for calling in. And thank everybody out in the chat. And as always, if you have any questions, you can reach me at dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. And of course, that's where I'm at, schoolofpodcasting.com. Jim, where can people find you?
Just out at theaverageguy.tv.
There you go. So we join here every Saturday to talk a little podcasting. Thanks to everybody. And we'll see you next week with another episode of Ask the Podcast Coach.